Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, the Lord talks to his disciples about prayer. In verse 1, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So his disciples have observed him praying, and they want to know how they should pray. Now realize that this is a prayer taught to the disciples, but there are principles in this prayer that are very important for us and that we can follow because he is teaching his disciples to pray. So watch what he says. Verse 2, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now in Matthew, you'll see the variation on this prayer is just a little different. Nevertheless, if you take the prayer the way that Jesus Christ taught his disciples and break it down into five components, there are things in the instruction that Jesus Christ gave his disciples that are very beneficial to you and to me when we pray. For instance, in the first part of the prayer, he says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. You see the praise? So the first thing in prayer is praise. Praise and thanksgiving, according to Hebrews chapter 13, are our spiritual sacrifices. Prayer and thanksgiving magnify the Lord. Hallowed be thy name. The Bible says that we enter into his courts with praise and with thanksgiving. So when we come to the Lord, notice he says here, Our Father which art in heaven. Oftentimes when we pray, we pray the same way. We say, Heavenly Father, and then we begin to announce our petitions. We recognize that God, by his preeminence, God, by his prominence, is large, he's big, he's high, he's lifted up, he is above us, he is our heavenly Father, he is in heaven. What praise does is that praise draws us close to the Lord. It brings us into his presence where we are thanking him for the things that he has done. You know, as parents, we are more inclined to do things for our children when they are grateful for the things that we have done. We're more inclined to do things for our children when they appreciate what we've done. And by offering thanksgiving, what we're saying to God is, God, we don't take for granted the benefits that we have received in our relationship with you. We are thankful for the things that you have done. When you come before the Lord in prayer and you start with praise and you start with thanksgiving, hallowed be thy name, what happens is that God is magnified, that God is appreciated for all the wonderful things that he has done in our lives. It takes the urgency of our petition away, because we're going to get to that. But it causes us to stop for a minute and realize we are talking to the Creator of the universe, the author of salvation, the greatest giver in the universe, our long-suffering, our forbearing, our merciful, loving, holy, righteous, just God. the only true God. And as we praise Him, just look how David, in those Psalms, particularly the latter Psalms of the 150, all that praise to God. Wonderful, wonderful way to start your prayer. I'll tell you what it does. It affects your mood. It really does, because you begin to feel a lifting. I remember in a recent prayer meeting, I came and we sang two songs. One was Higher Ground. And, you know, thinking about that, I'm not going to stay on this lower plane where fears and doubts dismay, but I'm going to higher ground. There's another one we sang, Look to the Lord and Live. And when you think about being weary in this world, when you think about being attacked by our adversary, the devil, and then you look to the Lord and live, you see what happens? It takes your attention and your concentration away from the problems you're going to bring in your petitions and magnifies the greatness of God. There's a lifting in your spirit that comes when you start your prayer with praise. Now notice the second thing in the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught His disciples. He said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. That's praise. Watch it. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. That's providence. That's providence. Thy will be done in earth. By acknowledging that we want God's will to be done here in the same way that God's will is done in heaven, we are admitting our submission. We are admitting our subjection to Him. We are approaching Him in meekness. Our desire is to see His will, and our desire in this part of our petition is to do His will. Paul said to the Philippians, Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to do and to will of His good pleasure. And since we are here for His pleasure, it's very important that we acknowledge, God, we are about to make a petition. We are going to ask You for something. But before we ask, we're going to recognize and we are going to admit that we recognize Your will is better than our will, and that we want Your will to be done. In God's providence, He takes an active interest in His creation. He takes an active interest in our lives. And we're saying to Him, God, we are not going to petition You so hard that we're going to leave You with one option to answer our prayer request, and that is according to our will, but we're going to leave You with this option, that our desire is to see Your will. Now that can be, you know, a very difficult thing if you don't trust God. As a matter of fact, to say to the Lord, we are going to look to Your providence, says that we trust You. Take, for instance, a person with a health concern, which could be a terminal illness. You say to the Lord, God, heal my friend. God, heal my child. God, heal my spouse. Certainly, that's what we want. And that's the way we want to pray. But when we say to the Lord, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth, we're saying, Lord, our heart's desire is to see You accomplish this answer in accordance with Your will. And you know what? God's will may be to sustain us with His comfort and our friend or our loved one or our child with His grace, but it may not be to heal them. And at the time, we don't know why that is. All we know is that in God's will, the outcome of that decision is better than if He had answered the prayer in accordance with our will. That's what the Lord is saying in the Lord's Prayer. Providence, we're going to trust You. You know, the Bible says, and it's true, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, each ingredient may not be good, oftentimes is not good. And the ingredient, which is the answer to our prayer request that we're praying about right now, may actually be something that is very hard. It may result in a serious trial or a serious affliction or a serious infirmity. We look at that and we think, oh, this is terrible that we're having to deal.
Check it out.
It's terrible that we're having to deal with this outcome to our prayer request, but taken as a whole, all things work together. Taken as a whole, we suddenly realize this piece, this pill that I had to swallow was bitter, but taken as a whole, the outcome is better than had the Lord answered another way. Praise, where we magnify God, where we thank God. Providence, where we submit to God's will. We're following the example of Jesus Christ, who in the Garden of Gethsemane said, "Not my will, but thine be done," and left the decision with his Father. Then in the third part of this prayer, the Bible says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." Here's the third part, Luke 11:3, "Give us day by day our daily bread." That's the provision. Praise, providence, provision. Jesus Christ is saying to his disciples, you want to live in the presence of God with a daily dependence upon him. Give us day by day our daily bread. When I read that passage, I am reminded what Agur said in Proverbs chapter 30. Agur, in talking to Ithiel and Ucal, said to the Lord in verse 7, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7, he said, "Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die." All right, now verses 8 and 9. Number one, "Remove far from me vanity and lies." Well, for the Lord to answer that, you simply need to turn off your television and shut down your computer and quit going to some of the sites that you go to, because they're filled with vanity and lies, okay? Then he says in the second part of his petition in verse 8, "Give me neither poverty nor riches." And now he expands on his second request, "Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." So here's what he's saying. He said, I don't need to be rich, and I surely don't want to be poor, because if I'm rich, I'm going to deny you and say, who is the Lord? If I'm poor, I'm going to steal and take the name of my God in vain. So what's his request? Feed me with food convenient for me. That's an amazing thing. Every time that you approach the Lord in prayer, particularly as you begin your day, you ought to ask him for your daily provision. Give us day by day our daily bread. For people who are Bible believers, people who are faithful in their attendance to a local church, I doubt very seriously there's anyone that doesn't think to bow his head or her head over a plate of food and thank God for the food that you're about to eat, because that comes from him. Moses said in Deuteronomy, the Lord giveth thee power to get wealth. These things come from him. But you know, we have so much, as a general rule, we have so much that we don't live in the same dependence upon God that somebody like George Mueller lived. You know, George Mueller was in London and had an orphanage and had many orphans under his care and daily faced a lack of provision. And sometimes he would have to tell his superintendent, go ahead and set the table, set out the bowl, set out the glasses, but we really don't have anything for the children, the superintendent would say. Mueller would say, that's okay, and he would go into his study and he would pray. And God, during that time of prayer, would answer George Mueller's requests, and food would arrive. And there was always a sufficiency to take care of the needs of the children. You know, we don't really live today, as a general rule, with that much dependence upon the day-to-day sustenance and provision of the Lord. But the Lord said when you pray, that's what you want to pray. Why is that? Because you want to constantly remember that the food that you have today, the provision that you have today, you have because of the Lord's bounty. You have because of the Lord's provision. I mean, truly, you have seen disasters, natural disasters, they call them. You have seen economic collapses. And you may be right now thinking, well, I'm fine. I've got things put away, and I have money in the bank, and so I'm good. But, you know, all of that can change in a day. And when we come to the Lord and we are reminded in our prayer that we're looking to God for our daily provision, we never forget that when that day might come, we can still ask the Lord for provision and the Lord can still provide. You've seen miracle after miracle performed in the Bible to make provision for a widow, to make provision for a prophet, to make provision for an entire nation like Israel when they walked in the wilderness and fed with the manna. Day by day, our daily bread. So when we pray to God, these things that the Lord taught His disciples are praise. Start with praise. Providence, recognizing the will of God is greater and better than our will, and provision that we are daily dependent upon the Lord for those things that we have, that food that we eat. And then the fourth part of this prayer is pardon. Pardon. In verse 4 of Luke chapter 11, the Lord said, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." Now in Matthew, when the Lord teaches this prayer, forgiveness is conditional because He goes on to say, if you have somebody that you don't forgive, the Lord's not going to forgive you. It's conditional. In the New Testament, following the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, that condition has been removed. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, we are said, "Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." In other words, when you were saved, you were already forgiven. Now, there are some people who will say, because Jesus Christ bore our sins in His own body on the tree, because He became sin for us, then all of our sin has been dealt with and there is no need for confession. And that, of course, is contrary to Proverbs 28:13 and 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, which says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I realize that the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ has removed the eternal consequence and the eternal effect of sin. But there is still sin in your life after you get saved, and it does affect your fellowship. 1 John 1, 7 talks about walking in the light and having fellowship one with another. That fellowship is affected. Our fellowship with God is affected by sin, and so we confess that sin in order to restore that fellowship that we have with Him. And the Lord goes on to say, listen, I've already forgiven you, so you forgive others, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Here in Luke chapter 11, verse 4, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." What do we see here? Very simply, what the Lord says, when you approach the Father in prayer, keep a short account. Keep a short account. That is, when you know that there's something in your life that you've done and you confess that sin, you know what you're doing? You are acknowledging before the Lord, you are acknowledging before God that what you have done is a sin. That way you can deal with it, you can correct it. And not only that, but you're acknowledging that He is the one who forgives that sin. The second thing you're doing is you are encouraged by this instruction in prayer in Luke chapter 11, verse 4, to not only keep a short account with God, but also to keep your account short with others. What does that mean? Don't fail to forgive those who have sinned against you. You see, if you fail to do that, you're going to be mad. If you fail to forgive those that sin against you, you are not being merciful where God has been merciful with you. And what you're, that anger that you have toward them will turn into bitterness. That's why in Ephesians 4:31, the Lord said, let all evil wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and bitterness be put away from you. Well, the way to do it is by forgiving others and receiving the pardon of the Lord himself. Look at this tremendous instruction then on prayer. It starts with praise, providence, provision, pardon, and then this finally, protection. Protection. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse 4, as the prayer that the Lord instructed his disciples ends. He said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. You know what he's basically saying? He's saying, you know, there are temptations that you and I are going to face, and there are evils that are out there constantly. He says, when you pray, like you start your day, pray for protection. That is, we already know from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that the Lord makes a way to escape when we face temptation. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. All right, So he says, when you find yourself in the middle of a temptation, there is a way to escape. In this prayer in Luke chapter 11, he said, you know what? Get ahead of the temptation. Seek the protection before you even face it. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Do you realize we have an adversary? As a matter of fact, we have a world that's our enemy. Our own flesh is our enemy. We have a devil that is our enemy. And he's saying, here, why don't you pray before you ever even find yourself in the temptation? Lord, don't lead me into temptation. Lead me away and deliver me from that evil. You know what he's saying is you could cut off some of the opportunity for this sin to come your way by dealing with it before you ever encounter it. I know we're given the whole armor of God, so you can make that part of your prayer and go in with the realization, I have enemies that are very real in the world and in my house because of my flesh and in the spiritual world. And Lord, I am talking to you about those enemies before I even encounter what they're delivering today. Protect me. Deliver me from evil. Now, there are many other things concerning prayer that are helpful. But when you consider this disciples' prayer, that is the prayer that Jesus Christ taught his disciples, these five areas that the Lord taught them are very valuable instruction for you and me. In other words, you don't have to repeat these words that Jesus Christ taught his disciples. I know there are people that go to church and on Sunday they repeat what they call the Lord's Prayer, probably more aptly named the Disciples' Prayer. They repeat this as part of their ritual. You don't have to repeat what he said word for word. There's nothing wrong with his words at all. But you should repeat the structure, that is, the main aspects, the main components of this prayer. So I'll repeat them for you very simply. When you start your prayer in the morning, start with praise. Thank God. You may find that you'll be there a while for all the things that he has done in your life, and you recognize that he's done and that they've come from him. Providence. Acknowledge his providence. Recognize that his will for your life is better than your own will for your life and that you want his will to be done. God's providence. And then provision. Live with the realization that what you have today came from God. And tomorrow when you pray, recognize that what you have from God came from God. And that you want him each day to continue to make that provision for your necessities, for your food. And then pardon, because you and I are not perfect yet. We are not living in a glorified body. We still face sin in our lives, and we want our relationship with God to not be affected adversely in any way because of some sin that's in our lives. And when we when we say forgive us our sins, it's not just a blanket statement, but we can actually look at a specific sin in our lives and say, that thing that I did right there, Father, I acknowledge that was rebellion, or that was greed, or that was envy, or that was fear, or that was lust. And I agree with you that what I have done or thought or said was motivated by that particular sin, and I confess to you my error, my sin. Thank you for your forgiveness. That restores the fellowship, and also it makes you aware of the tendency in your life under those circumstances to commit that sin. And by acknowledging and seeking pardon for that sin, you're making a determination, I'm going to forsake that. I'm not going to go that way in my life. Praise, providence, provision, pardon, and then finally in this prayer, protection. Protection. I recognize the evil and the temptation that's out there, and I'm asking you, Lord, to protect me from these things. This little example of prayer that Jesus Christ taught his disciples is so valuable for us. I really pray that what you've heard here is something that you will incorporate into your prayer life. That perhaps that some of these you're already doing, and perhaps the Lord has given you something that you can say, you know what, I had forgotten that piece. I'm going to make sure in my life to include that piece in my prayer life. It's going to help you. We have learned in this time of the ministry, we have learned in this time of our lives, we're accomplishing a lot more by prayer now than by any other means. And if we can, listen, if we can learn anything from the Lord about how to improve our prayer life for the benefit of those for whom we're praying, by all means, we should want to learn from the Lord, because we want our prayer to be effectual. We want our prayer to accomplish things that are beneficial in the lives of those for whom we're praying. So I pray this has been a blessing to you. I pray that this has been something that you can live by in your life that will help you when you approach the throne of grace on behalf of others, and when you approach the throne of grace concerning your own needs. May God bless you abundantly in your prayer life as you seek to please God, to watch God work in your family, and as you pray for others that you know in this country and abroad that need your help.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.